Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We have Greg Johnson on the line, who I'm proud to announce is the newest member in our Mission Matters community and also will be an author in our upcoming book release. Greg is the founder and executive coach over at Above the Rim Executive Coaching. Greg, first off, welcome to the show and welcome to the community.
Well, thank you, Adam. This is just really exciting for me, and I'm looking forward to working with you on this.
All right, Greg. So a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, executives watch this program, and we're all looking, myself included, on a way to get an edge, a way to get ahead and to really maximize, you know, our performance, but also our significance, which go hand in hand. So we're going to go deep into this topic today. But before we do, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Greg, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Greg, what mission matters to you?
Well, as an executive coach, one of the things that I find with a lot of people is they're very good at what they do, but a lot of times they struggle trying to find out where they want to go, what they want to do, their next opportunity, and they let their career happen to them. So what I really enjoy doing and what my mission is to help professionals learn how to play their career above the rim, how to take control of their career destiny and do it on purpose. That's my mission.
Yeah, it's great. And I love having mission-based executives and entrepreneurs on the line to share, you know, why they do what they do, how they're doing it, and really what we can all learn from that so we grow together. So great having you on. And I guess just to get us kicked off here, so where did all of this start for you? Like, were you always an entrepreneur, the entrepreneurial type, or like, how did that happen for you?
I wouldn't say that I was always an entrepreneurial type, yeah. But I've always been curious and I've always loved exploring opportunities. So I did have my own business after I came back from Japan. I was working with companies to help them enter the Japanese market. Another thing that I did was, with that situation, it was doing very, very well until 9/11 hit, and that kind of collapsed that. And then after 2008, I was working with a company, Jaguar Land Rover. They relocated to the East Coast. My family didn't particularly want to relocate to the East Coast from Southern California. And at that point in time, I started working with a career coach. And then I really felt the calling to work with individuals. And it was that dream, that calling, so to speak, to do what I do that made me jump out and be an entrepreneur. And that's where I got started on this.
So I want to stay in those early days a little bit longer here, because I know some people will watch this and they've never worked with a career coach or an executive coach. They don't even necessarily know what that means. Maybe they've heard some stories, some other things. So let's take you back into the early days of when you worked with maybe your first coach. Like, did you immediately take to that process, or were you already adept and understood it? Or like how did that piece come about?
Well, that was actually a little bit of a complex process, in that once I knew that my position was being relocated, I was trying to figure out what did I want to do next. And I wasn't really sure what that looked like. And one of my thoughts was professional athletes, professional musicians, entertainers, they have coaches, they have agents. They're always looking for ways to improve their performance. And so I had an opportunity to interview a few career coaches. I had an opportunity to work in a couple of environments where I had great exposure to some tremendous career coaches. So I started working with some of them. And then as I was doing that, I started helping my friends. And in that process, I found it something that I just really love to do. So the thought of, well, I want to be better, so why wouldn't I hire a coach?
And you mentioned that you'd worked with maybe multiple during that time. Did I hear that right?
That is correct, yes.
Yeah. And what was kind of like that process like? Because I know that, and I don't mean their individual coaching styles, by the way, but I know that some people, maybe they've even explored with a coach in the past, and they're like, it wasn't quite what I was expecting. But the way I'll just, talk about myself for a moment here is that I've worked with different coaches along the way, and some, I always get something out of it. So I'm a huge fan of executive coaching. I mean, my audience knows that for sure. But, sometimes, you get one thing from one coach, you get something from another. So like, what was your experience like?
Well, absolutely. That's true. And I think being able to work with a coach that identifies how you work, how you do things. That's an individual situation that not every coach is for every person. You really want to take some time and look into it. And the coaches that I found, some are very skilled and very helpful at certain aspects. Others have their strengths in other areas. And so I was able to cherry pick and learn a lot of different things from a number.
Yeah. And so now, I'm kind of going through this timeline here. So now, you're getting these benefits, you're working with these coaches, you're really enjoying the process or processes for some of them. And now at some point, you're probably running around telling your friends about all this stuff you're learning, and they're just like asking you more and more questions, and now you're helping them, and it kind of snowballs. Like, that's how it happened, right? Like, you weren't sitting back like, it's just, you're probably having a cup of coffee or tea, you're talking about the last conversation you had, and then they won't let you shut up, or you won't shut up, one of the two, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's awesome. And you have friends that you're helping or other people in your network and around you. That shift to, let's just say, go full time, or to also like say, this is my calling. This is what I love doing. This is what I want to make a go at. How did that take place?
I think it was pretty shortly after I left Jaguar Land Rover and working with the different coaches. I had a discussion with my wife about it, had her complete support. There were a number of other people in my network that I had discussions. What does this look like? How is this going to develop? Yeah. I remember having good discussions with a friend of mine, David, and we talked about, okay, well, what am I going to call the company? And what does it mean to you? And he helped me come up with a name, Above the Rim, because back in the day, many, many years ago, when I was playing basketball regularly, I could play above the rim. And it's fun when you have your game above the rim. And so I really wanted to think about, how can I help my clients realize their ability and reach their peak in playing above the rim? And that's how I came up with that.
It's awesome. So when you know the direction you're going, did you decide and pick your niche of the executive market? I know you work with a lot of C-suite executives. Did you pick that immediately, or did you know who you wanted to coach or who you wanted to help immediately? Like, how'd that work out?
Well, one of the things that I've learned is I enjoy working with all levels of people. My primary client is probably mid-management and above. But I also like working with students, because one of the things I discovered is as I'm working with mid-management people or even C-level people, they're saying, Greg, I wish I learned back when I was just out of college what you're teaching me now. And so I've made some strides in working with younger people as well, and I thoroughly enjoy that. But one of the things in networking, and I don't believe in accidents, I don't believe in coincidences, but there are a number of people that have happened into my life and into opportunities to work with them that we've been able to forge some really good relationships. And that's the exciting thing.
Yeah. And I know one of the concepts that you're definitely known for is to kind of view your career as a journey. So that's definitely all the entrepreneurs and executives watch this, I depending on the level of, where they're at, but I've always seen it as a journey, and it's the zigs and the zags and not necessarily knowing always what's coming next, especially as an entrepreneur. Let's go further into the concept. Let's get into the idea of how we really take this content and this information and maybe make a difference. So elaborate maybe on the career part and how we should be looking at it from your point of view.
Well, a lot of people, they get their job and they start focusing on the day in, day out grind. And what can I do to work and focus on what's right in front of me. And they do very well at their work. But I kind of have an analogy. It's like someone who, if you're playing basketball and you're dribbling up the court, when I coached my kids and taught them how to dribble, they would watch the ball while they're dribbling, but they wouldn't see anything else. And so a lot of workers, they're watching the ball while they're dribbling. They're watching their work, but they're not seeing anything else. And suddenly they're trapped. They lose a job and they're wondering, okay, now what do I do? So being able to look up and see what's going on, being able to have an idea of this is what I really love to do. This is what I want to do. So having that plan laid out. But along with that, it's really important to have that curiosity that as you meet people, you are exposed to new opportunities that were not on your radar. And that's when your career can take a zig or a zag. And it becomes a very exciting opportunity. And that's why the career is a journey. And I look at that journey, it's not just about what you're doing and what your successes are, but who are you going along on that journey with? How are you impacting them? How are they impacting you? And that's what this journey is really all about.
Yeah. And I like that you mentioned that, by the way, that it doesn't always have to be a career transition from the standpoint of you know, maybe a displacement or like a restructuring or something like that. Like it could be, you know, based off of you being proactive and, you know, being out there and networking or whatever. Like you said, no coincidences. You could have a huge opportunity that puts itself in front of you that you didn't even, maybe if you had your blinders on, you wouldn't even see, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
So I like to give, and obviously like at the end of this, I'll give you an opportunity to leave, you know, website, all of that kind of stuff so that our audience can follow up and connect, because only so much of your methodology we're going to be able to cover in a podcast interview. But I do like our viewers and listeners to walk away with some tips and some things that are actionable. So let's maybe, and I know it's going to be different for every person. I understand that, but let's think about if somebody's never done any type of, let's say, executive coaching, and they kind of think that they're, you know, that they want to do it, but they kind of are uncertain. Like, how does somebody really know from your mind if they're ready to move forward with a coach?
That's a very interesting question. And how do you really know if you're ready to move forward? I think a lot of people don't think about the idea of having it. So they just think, okay, my career is what I do. It's very natural for me to keep going with this, but they don't think about, okay, what more can I learn or how can a coach help me? And one of the things that I found in talking with people that have signed up with me is they said, well, I had this idea of what I might be able to accomplish, but what really surprised me is there's so much more that I learned. There's so much more that I got out of this. So I would encourage every professional to seek out coaches, to talk with them, and to look at what can I do? Is my career worth enough to invest in coaching to take myself to the next level? I'm very good at what I do. Am I willing to be stretched? Am I willing to go places that might be a little bit uncomfortable? See where that might take me.
So on my end, I know, and there's zero neuroscience behind what I'm about to say, Greg. This is just my opinion, but I feel like people are wired differently and some of their motivations are different. So like some people, when there's a transition or something, and maybe they're going towards the proverbial, maybe hitting bottom or something, they think, okay, I need help. I need a coach. Some people, when they're doing good, in my opinion, they're like, you know, okay, I need a coach, like, cause I want to maintain or I want to go further. I tend to be the one that if I'm doing good, I'm like, I'm looking for a coach. I'm like, okay, I might be breaking into a new level here if all goes right. So I need some help. I need a different vantage point. So that's on my end. In your experience, like, are there different stages or times and points when people should be looking for a coach?
I think you're 100% right that people are wired differently. And the ones that are looking for a coach when they're on top, those are the ones that are really kind of leading and proactively controlling their career destiny. When you wait till you're on the bottom, that's always a good time to hire a coach and work with a coach, but you have to do a lot of digging out at that time. And that's when a lot of people are desperate. And are you willing to open up and trust in the process of what that's going to take? So that's a critical point to consider. So I do work with all stages, but the people that are most effective are the ones who aren't feeling the need that, darn it, I need to do something now because my career is in trouble.
Yeah. What do you think holds back some of the people that, like, they're doing well, they've been doing well for a long time, who they, you know, intuitively, a lot of people, let me say, many people understand the concept that elite athletes, whether you're Olympic level, professional or otherwise, all have coaches. So what do you think holds back some of those elite entrepreneurs or executives that have been doing well, could be maybe doing better, but and probably think they know they need a coach because they can look at, you know, Olympians and professionals, but they still haven't gone that next step. What do you think holds them back?
I think part of it is getting into the daily grind of doing what they're doing and focusing on what's in front of them rather than focusing, you know, picking their head up and looking at, okay, where is everything going? And that's a tendency that a lot of people have. And, you know, you want to focus on what's in front of you to a large degree because you want to have success there, but you want to be able to step back and plan. And so there's a lot of people that are very good at what they do, but in part of doing very successfully what they are currently doing, that's kind of all encompassing. And so where's the bandwidth to start coaching? And that can be a challenge.
Yeah, I can see that. So many irons in the fire, stretch thin.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you're taking care of your business, your employees, your department, your divisions, and you're the last thing you're thinking about is yourself, which is kind of counterintuitive. And I'm guilty of doing it too, so I'm not picking on anybody out there. It's counterintuitive, but ultimately, if you're out of that spot or not able to do what you need to do, then it kind of all suffers anyway. So it's a tricky balance. I get what you're saying.
It is very tricky, and it is counterintuitive. But being able to pull back and look at that is where you can really take it to the next level.
So speaking of taking it to the next level, Greg, let's go further into your practice and your methodology. So Above the Rim Executive Coaching, tell us more about the company.
Well, I offer a number of different programs. I do one-on-one coaching. I do workshops. I do on-demand. But primarily what I really love to do is to help my clients take a deep dive into who they are. Why do they do what they do? Why do they want to do it? And where do they want to do it? I believe that if you are working 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week, that's something you should be enjoying. Yeah. A lot of professionals, they think, okay, the job, it's just, I need to get a salary and that's all I need. I need salary and benefits. I don't need to enjoy my work because it's work. But if you're going to spend that much time and you can enjoy it, isn't that going to be a much better experience? Would you rather have an opportunity where it's exciting to wake up in the morning and go and do your work? Or do you want to begrudgingly have to go in every single day, push that boulder up the same hill every single day, go home, that boulder rolls back down the hill, and you have to do the same thing the next day? And that's how a lot of people feel about their career.
Yeah. And so the main thing is that there is another way. Maybe go into, and I know, again, we won't go into your entire process, but maybe for, again, just to give the listeners or viewers that have never worked with an executive coach, but are curious, like tell them maybe a little bit more about your process and what that looks like.
Right. And as I go into that and help them understand who they are, why they're going where they're going, then I help them to understand the value that they've given to previous employers, the value of what they accomplish, and being able to own that. One of the challenges that a lot of people face when they're going through their career and suddenly there is a layoff and suddenly there is stuff going on, or they're not happy with how their previous position ended, there's baggage and there's something called imposter syndrome that creeps in. They've had great success, but there are things that are happening that are causing them to doubt that, or causing them to doubt that people they are talking to will understand that. So what I help them do is take a look at what they have achieved, break it down into components, learn how to talk about it in a precise way that makes sense, and then go through a step-by-step process where they actually take complete ownership of what they've been able to achieve and what their value is, what their why is. Then as they go through the process and even creating marketing collateral, so you're not relying just on your resume, but there are so many different things you can use, such as executive bios, case studies, methodology one sheets, white papers, special reports. But as you spend time creating those things, you're taking such greater ownership in your head of who you are that when you go into an interview, I've had so many clients come back to me and say, Greg, the process that I went through, it was stretching. It was at times painful. But at the end, being able to master those interviews and nail the interviews when the game is on the line and stop shooting air balls when the game is on the line, that has been so impactful and it's helped me in so many different ways. And that's one of the things I love when they come back to me and say, Greg, it worked.
Yeah. That's awesome. And that's got to be the gratifying part of finishing a process. Because what I find is that, especially for good or great executive coaches, like it's a give and take. So meaning just like it's a stretching process for every client or every person that you work with, it's a stretching process. Like there's also a certain amount of stretching that goes on from the coach's point of view, because every person, whether their emotional needs, they're like anything, their situation, their story, their baggage at times, right? Like the things that you have to take on as a coach, like that goes both ways. Am I off on that or?
Completely goes both ways. And the wonderful thing is I learned so much from the people that I work with that it's constantly stretching me as well. And it allows me to pivot and do things. So, I mean, I have learned so much from the people that I've had the opportunity to work with. Definitely goes both ways. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I see that. And for anyone that's been, you know, coaching for a certain amount of time and has had the opportunity to work with, you know, elite individuals, I see that. They just have a different energy, in my opinion, because of going through that process over and over and over again, you can't help but also get better yourself. So good insight there. So what is like a, so we're talking about, that's the one-on-one component of this. So what is this? You mentioned they come back to you. So how long is typically an engagement in turn? And I know it could vary, but like in general, how long is a typical engagement that somebody works with you?
A typical engagement one-on-one is generally 6 to 8 months.
I ask you that question, by the way, so that people understand that have never worked with a coach. It's not a magic like thing. You're not taking a red or blue, green pill, whatever. You're like, it takes time and work, right?
There is a lot of unlearning and relearning, and it is not a magical process. It's not an easy process.
Yeah.
And it does take time to do things. So I would recommend, you know, people start going to coaching even while they are working, just to build that process and lay the foundation. So one of the things that I have found is after the process, when I'm doing one-on-one coaching, I've been putting on a lot of my programs into on-demand format. And so they've been coming back to me and working with me on a regular basis, whether that be once a month, whether that be once a quarter, talking about what's going on at work, helping them solve, because they can't go home necessarily and talk about it because people in their family don't understand. If they're having challenges, there are things that they cannot say at work. So being able to talk with another professional about these things. And the interesting thing is, in the process of talking about it, so often they're coming up with their own solution just by verbalizing what's going on.
Yeah, that's a thing. And for anybody out there that is, you know, high performing or reach a certain level, like you probably do have the answer inside yourself. But if it's like you need somebody to help bring that out, it's interesting how that works.
just a dialogue going back and forth with that really helps. So yeah, they're yeah. coming back and I have networking meetings in the evening that they can attend. So a lot of them that work with me through that long process, or I also have an accelerated boot camp where they take everything that I do in 4 to 6 months and they do it in a extremely tight, busy 8 weeks. It's a very challenging program. And once they finish that, they often go into what I call the alumni program, where they have continued access to the material, access to the new materials, the networking events, and keep that synergy going of constantly keeping your eyes off the ball, but keeping your eyes open to see where the opportunities are. Doing that consistent, proactive networking with curiosity, so that suddenly when an opportunity comes up, they can explore that and have those fun zigs in their journey.
Yeah. And that makes total sense. And it's great that you have also that community component on the back end in terms of the networking and otherwise, because I mean, if we were thinking about the gym or something, it's pretty common sense. You have this goal, whether it's to lose weight, get in shape, whatever your goal was. And then, okay, you hit your goal. And then you're like, all right, I'm not going to go to the gym anymore. I'm done. I already hit my goal. All right. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Right.
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. Is there, go a little bit further. You did mention the online component, but go a little bit further into like what that entails. Cause I know a lot of individuals that the on-demand, you know, post pandemic and even maybe before that was just getting more and more popular to make things more accessible when people are, you know, available. And I feel like that expands the market. So of people that can benefit from your work. So tell us a little bit more about that. Go a little
further. Absolutely. Well, when the pandemic hit, I started doing live workshops and had great success, but I was limited to what I could do because I had to be there each and every workshop, and there was limited amount of actual work that they could do in the workshop because there was a lot of content being delivered and helping people move through the process. So starting last year, I started converting all of my information into actual on-demand content. And this has really been quite exciting because people can go through it at their pace. They can, you know, some people actually put it at 1.5 times the speed, speed it up. So they go through it a little bit quicker. They stop, they pause, they take notes, they review it. By having everything broken up into segments, into bite-sized chunks, it makes them it easier for them to process it on their schedule when they can do it, but also easily go back and review it to help them with the process. And that's been a huge advantage.
Yeah, I'm a micro learner for sure. Like I need the bite size. Like that's how I learn best. I found obviously, but when I was coming up ranks of corporate America and taking all my exams and things like this, I don't really think we had much in the form of micro learning as far as I can recall. But now after I started to get used to it and understood what it was, and then the retention for me was just so much more. And I'm not against, again, an all-day seminar or anything like that. I do that. And I think I feel like all these different learning styles, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's online, whether it's the kind of the group format, I feel like they all attack your brain. Again, I don't know if there's any real neuroscience, but for me, they all attack the brain in a different way. And I just feel like the combination of utilizing all those things just make the retention and the possibility for, you know, true progress, which is the reason why someone would invest their time and money into something along the lines of executive coaching, right?
Absolutely. That's 100%. You know, everyone learns differently. Yeah. So being able to put it in a way that allows them to get things visually, auditorily, tactily, giving them a step-by-step process where they can actually work through it themselves, see that, go back and review it. It just makes it a greater learning experience. And as you say, helps them to retain it much better.
Other than, which I'm going to give you the opportunity to leave your website, things like that. But other than, which I do want my audience to do, other than going to check out your website and giving you a call, what's something that they can do today? Something small, something actionable, something that kind of gets them going. Like what's an exercise or a thing they can do today to start heading in the right direction?
What I would challenge them to do is take 15 minutes to really think about when they are working. what do they really enjoy doing with their work? There are some things that they will enjoy. There are some things they won't. But then write down what it is you, and then what is a process you go through and think about that and kind of jot down some ideas. Hmm. And then with that, think about when was the first time I really discovered when the light bulb flashed on and said, wow, I really enjoy this. And start thinking about why you're doing what you're doing. That would be a great exercise just to sit down and think about.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. As I mentioned in the beginning of this interview, so Greg is, and I'm happy to announce, an author in one of our upcoming books, of our best-selling business leaders books. And we're not going to go too far on this today, Greg, and this is intentional. So for everybody listening and watching to this, the reason why we're not is because we will be bringing Greg back on for a part two of this interview. But we do want a little teaser. And when Greg does come back on the show, the book will already be live and out there and launched. But keeping it high level, Greg, what are some of the things that you plan to present in the upcoming book?
I'm focusing on the fact that your career is a journey, and how do you approach your career? And a lot of people, again, their career is a means to an end to support their family, but it's nothing beyond that. And if you can think about it as a journey and how that will impact you, how that can help you at the end of the day, have a career with growth, have a career with significance that goes far beyond the salary that you earn. How are you just impacting people? And so that's what I'll be getting into.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to cut you off there, Greg, because I got a lot more questions, but I'm going to wait till the book's out for those. So that being said, I mean, you got a lot going on, Above the Rim Executive Coaching. I got this book coming out, of course. I just have to ask, I mean, what's next? What's next for you? What's next for your firm?
What's next is finishing getting all my products, my programs on demand. Yeah. But I have probably about 15 new concepts that I'm working on to put together new courses, new ideas. One of the things you and I discussed recently, we were on a call together with a number of other experts talking about AI and how is that impacting professionals. And so that's one thing that I'm going to be attacking. And I have about five others that I'm looking at. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what the rest of 2023 has in store. And it's been a good ride so far, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Fantastic. And if somebody's listening to this and they want to follow up and learn more about working with you and your team, what's the best way for them to do that?
There are two good ways to do that. Number one, my website is abovetherim.us. Another good way is to find me on LinkedIn. Yeah. And my LinkedIn URL is very easy to remember. All you need to remember is Greg L. Johnson. So it's www.linkedin.com/in/Greg L. Johnson. And connect with me. I do ask that you know my email address, but it's very easy to find that. It's on the About section of my profile.
Fantastic. And we'll put, by the way, so we'll put the links to your website, of course, and your LinkedIn profile in the show notes so that our audience can just click on the links and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or listening to an episode or engaging with the platform, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, and what we can all learn from that so we all grow together. The whole point of the Mission Matters platform is for us all to grow together. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Greg, really, it has been a pleasure. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Adam. I very much enjoyed it.